Good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet or introduce myself, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak location of Bridge City Church, and I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. I will never stop saying it. There's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. Thank you so much for making this time important on your Sunday morning. I think it's, what, 10 degrees outside right now? Is that where we're still at? It's 11. It's a heat wave. Oh, six. We dropped down a little bit. Probably feels like negative 10, but you braved the weather to get out today to worship God and praise His name. And we're kicking off a new series today, and it's all about vision the next few weeks. And when I say the word vision, I want you to first and foremost, how you doing, buddy? Wait. What is that? What toy is that? No, what toy do you have? Yeah, that's pretty cool. At that moment, he knew. It's all about vision. And what do you think about vision? What do you think when you hear the word vision? We asked this question in our huddle this morning, and some people shouted, LED lights. I was like, what? What do you mean? They're like, how it impairs my vision when they're driving towards me. Other people just said the future. Other people said, I don't know all the pieces to the puzzle, but that's okay. I know there's a picture. I just don't know what the picture looks like yet. And when we talk about vision, it needs to do something within you. And today we're going to talk about what vision is and what vision does. And then next week we're going to talk about where we're being led as a church, and then we're going to have our annual report and Vision Sunday, and we're going to share all of the things that God did in 2025 and what we're expecting Him to do in 2026. But I want to start off today, first and foremost, and pray, but then I'm going to tell you I need to come clean before you all. Can we do that? All right, that's the Lord trying to get our attention. Father God, thank you so much for who you are, who we get to be because of you. Lord, thank you for the vision that you gave to launch Bridge City Church as a whole. And thank you for the vision that you gave to launch the White Oak location. God, thank you for what you're doing here. May we continue to see all that you're doing. Praise you for all that you've done, but look forward with great expectation for all that you have planned to do. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Here's what I need to come clean about. How many OCD people do we have in the room? It's not like clinical. I'm there. Okay. Rachel's sick today. She's not here, but you can text her and say, hey, Nick just admitted in front of everybody that he is obsessive compulsive. And it's not a disorder. It's a discipline. Okay. Okay. It's a discipline. So when I say this because if something's not right, I hear it, I see it, I know, and I can't rest until it's fixed. It's just who I am. You know, if there's a car that I'm driving and there's a noise that is in the car that wasn't present prior to me driving that car, I have to find the noise. If there's a quarter rattling in the cup holder, I will move the quarter, okay? I will look over to Rachel and say, don't you hear that noise? She's like, no, I don't hear it. I'm like, well, God bless you then, because you have something I don't. She puts her sunglasses on the plastic in the car and it drives me insane, okay? But I need to fix it, okay? Now, there's things in our life that sometimes when those things happen, it may seem like an inconvenience. Let me talk about one for instance. Does anybody know or recognize this sound? Chirp.
Yeah. Oh, God, the battery dead in
them. Chirp. Chirp. So I want you to place yourself in a scene with me. It is, it's late at night. I'm getting ready to finally like rest and I'm laying down on a couch to watch a movie and all I hear is chirp. My dog starts shaking. Winston has a horrible fear of chirps. And I need to find it, right? So I know that mine are all hardwired. They're all hardwired. So I still checked the batteries, but I knew that it wasn't the one right above me. I walk upstairs. It's not the one in the bedroom. I walk downstairs. It's not the one in the kitchen. I know that it is not my chirp. And I'm like, wait a second. And I heard it right as I said, it's not my chirp. I hear chirp. And I go downstairs and I check the carbon monoxide detector to make sure that it's not that one, because that's the silent killer. The scentless, silent killer. It's not my chirp. I hear it again. I go outside because I told you, I'm obsessive. So I needed to find out what it was. I hear it's my neighbor. It's over at my neighbor's. I'm walking towards my neighbor's. I'm like, with a flashlight. Right? So I find it. It's coming from in their house. And once I find that it's coming from in their house, it starts going. So I pound on the door. I'm pounding on the windows. No answer. So I call the fire department. Right? That's what you're supposed to do. Right? Hear something, say something. See something, say something. I call the fire department. They get there. It's actively going off. There's no smoke or anything. You can't find anything. So if your neighbor's home, I was like, I have no idea. So what do? They go in. They go in to find that it was carbon monoxide. It was in their basement. And they weren't home. They were in Florida. I had no idea they were in Florida. But why am I telling you this? Because this thing that was an inconvenience, this thing that was a hindrance, this thing that was inconveniencing me actually was a thing that was doing exactly what it was designed to do. I was frustrated. I was inconvenienced. I was somebody who was like, "How? Why is this affecting me falling asleep on a couch watching a movie?" But it did exactly what it was designed to do. And then I got humbled. I was like, man, what if they were home? And I would have thought it was just an inconvenience. I would have thought it was just somebody that didn't change the battery in their smoke detector. Now, let's be honest. Let's tell the truth, shame the devil. How many of you have an active chirp going on in your house right now? Tell the truth, shame the devil. Anyone else? Anyone else? We got another chirper back there. You took the battery out. Who took the... Jimmy, how many years as a firefighter? 29? Do fire detectors work if you take the battery out? No. Listen, there's some things in our life that God wants to use to get your attention, and you're just taking the batteries out. But listen, I will tell you that taking the batteries out doesn't delay the inevitable. It just slows your response. That's really good. That wasn't in the first. That was free of charge right there. Come on, write that down. We're going to talk about vision today and how vision pushes us forward. But it starts as a chirp. It starts as a nudge. It starts as a burden, a thought that you can't shake, something that bothers you so much, but it doesn't bother anyone else. I live in a neighborhood. Nobody else was bothered by that chirp. What's bothering you so much that you have to move? That you have to do something. Exodus 3, this moment that Moses makes a statement that changes everything. It's an I must go moment. I must go see this. Verses 1 through 4 in Exodus 3. One day Moses was tending to the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing. Moses said to himself, "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses! Moses! Here I am," Moses replied. Now, I want to talk about these verses and unpack them a little bit. But before I say what Moses is doing and going to do, I want to talk about what Moses wasn't doing. Moses wasn't preaching. Moses wasn't leading. Moses wasn't doing some grandiose thing that got God's attention for him and his life. Moses was just tending to his flock, caring for sheep, doing the ordinary mundane things that he would always do. But God did something to get his attention. We can divide Moses' life into three 40-year periods. The first was when he was a baby and he was sent up river, placed into God's hands that God would care for him. Now we're in the second portion of Moses' life where there's just 40 years of obscurity. Not seen, not heard, maybe just felt forgotten. But God shows up in the mundane. Listen, it's normal to see shrubbery in the desert that is dried up and look like it can burn up at any moment. That's normal. It is not normal to see a bush that is on fire and is not going away. That's weird. God used this ordinary moment to get Moses' attention. Sure, I'm sure there were fires in the desert. I'm sure it's fairly common, lightning. I'm sure all of these things happen. However, this bush was not being consumed by the fire. This was different, and it was so different that Moses made this statement, I must go see this. Everybody wants to go see a fire. They just want to watch it burn, spiritually and naturally. But this is what vision is. Vision is when something's happening that you have to go see it and you got to move forward. Vision is noticing what other people walk past. Vision is whenever we're paying attention when God is trying to get our attention. God's trying to get us to move somewhere, but we're just paying attention to what's maybe going on around us or our circumstances or our stuff. God's doing things all around us that do not look spectacular. They're not these big, grandiose things all the time. You know, downstairs, when you walked in the front door to the right, there's a room that used to be a karate studio. And guess what it's going to be now? Bridge City Church. That's what it's going to be. Now, when you look in those doors, when you go downstairs today and you peek in the window, there's nothing spectacular about it. I think there's two ATMs. There's a knight statue. There is a wooden table that I pray stays. And they leave it there. It's very nice. But it's not spectacular. But God's going to do spectacular things in that place, just like he does in this unspectacular room. Through unspectacular people. Like me. Verse 18 of Ephesians 1. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Listen, the vision starts and movement begins when you stop ignoring the chirp. Chirp. Vision happens when your eyes of your heart are enlightened to know the hope of which you have been called. So what vision is God calling you to today? What's God placing on your heart to, I must go see this? You've already answered the call to enter this room because you knew something was going on. Maybe you were invited. Maybe you're somebody that's driven past every Sunday and you're like, why is that parking lot full? I must go see. And I know it's not Plaza Azteca because they don't open yet. Why? I must go. You've already gotten here. You've already gotten to that must go moment. But now it's time to move into a calling moment. Vision is I must go and see. Calling is here I am. And here you are. You might still be ignoring some chirps in your life, but you're here. Exodus 3, 5 through 10. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place by which you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their oppressions, and I am aware of their sufferings. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivitites, the Jebusites, the McKeesportites, the North Versailles-ites, the White Oakites, the Elizabethites. If I missed your ite. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen how severely the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Listen, what an amazing scene. What an amazing moment. What an incredible story to draw us in to want to move forward. Remember, God called out, Moses, Moses. And what did Moses say? Here I am. Could you imagine answering a burning bush? God's calling some of us right now. God's calling you right now. God's chirp. He's trying to get your attention. He'll do whatever he can to get you to move forward in his calling. I know what he did for me. It wasn't this burning bush moment. There wasn't a fire in the middle of the desert. But there was a girl that God used to get me to come to church. Now, she wasn't on fire, but she was hot.
There you go.
Text her. Tell her that's her second. She's sick today. She's not here. She'd be so red right now. Text her. Let her know. Maybe text her the Mim song, too. If you know, you know. Moses answered, here I am. Before God gives him an assignment, God gives Moses a holy moment. Take off your sandals. Slow down. Be here. Center yourself. Focus. Remove the distractions. This sacred moment when God intervenes into his life and same into our life when he's calling us into the mission and the calling that he has for each and every one of us. This is a moment that's aligned with his vision for his will for our lives to be lived out in obedience. And listen, your calling, it's not a job. It's not. Your calling is definitely not a title. And your calling isn't what defines you. God is. But your calling is an invitation that he has before you into something holy. He might not be calling you to pastor the church, but he may be calling you to be a pastor in somebody's life. Being a pastor isn't a title. It's an answering a call to care for God's people, to love, encourage, empower, equip, to challenge. You don't need to have the title to fulfill the call. And you may be thinking, oh, I don't know much. People don't care what you know until they know how much you care. Fulfill the calling that is on your life. And you'd be like, how do I find my calling? What breaks your heart? What breaks your heart? When you find out what breaks your heart, you're very close to what God's calling you to. My heart breaks thinking about that there are still people outside of these walls that are without God and without a church community, without people to run with. I grew up, I had a small family. My family lived in California. I never got to see them. I desired for a big family. Desired for it. Now I have the biggest family in the world. I got aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, grandmas, grandpaps, moms, dads. I got a guy for everything. And if I don't have a guy, I got a guy that got a guy. Right, Gabe? Who did it? Who did? Is that for real? Did somebody do it? Thank you. Give me it. I need it. Give me it. I need it. You know why I was stopped in my tracks? Because during the first worship experience, we spoke it into fruition, and I get off stage and they say, hey, the police are here to see you. There was an alarm. Moses' calling was not about his gifts. It was about someone else that was suffering. Moses' calling wasn't about him. It was about other people. Your calling's not just for you. And guess what? You might not like your calling. But you're so obsessive that you have to move forward in it. It locked, so I can't do it. But here you go. You're good. You ready? You ready? When you use your gifts, it answers your prayers. Keep it on lock. Ready. Keep it ready. Moses' calling was not about his gifts. It was about someone else's suffering. It was about leading people into the promised land. When you use your gift, it answers your prayer. But when you step into your calling, it answers someone else's. Calling always flows from a place of compassion. So my question again is, what breaks your heart? Does it break your heart that there's people that come in here and nobody knows their name? Does it break your heart that there's people that come in here that don't have a group of people to walk with and run with? Today's group kickoff day, signing up for groups. It's exciting. It's great. Wonderful. Why? Because we are a church that is made up of those small groups of people that move forward. Everybody needs a group to be a part of and a team to serve with. What breaks your heart? Moses says what we would all say. I think he started with, huh? And then he went to, who am I? He went to anxiety and fear and worthlessness and I'm unqualified. But God answers, I will be with you. And when he says, I will be with you, what does that mean? That means that that anxiety, that fear, that worthlessness, that unqualifiedness must go away because he is hope, he is love, he has purpose, and he's the one who qualifies you. Calling is not about who you are, but who is with you. Who are you a representative of? He has given you the authority to be an advocate, a carrier of the vision, an ambassador of the kingdom. So my question is, what's God calling you to? And what's the chirp in your life that you're ignoring? We've gone from I must go see to here I am to a moment now, it's here I go. Exodus 4, 1 through 4, then Moses answered, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to my voice? For they may say, the Lord hasn't appeared to you. And the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? Moses replied, a staff. Throw it on the ground, said the Lord. So Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. God is going to call each and every one of us to something that is going to affect the people around us. And he's not going to ask you to use things you don't have. He'll give you everything you need. What do you have, Moses? I got a staff. Well, listen, that thing's going to be powerful. Let me show you. What do you have, Cody? You have an aching in your heart to see people meet Jesus. That's great. Let's run with that. What do you got, Jace? I have a great personality that draws people closer to me, and I want to draw them closer to Jesus through that. Chirp. Sue, what do you have? Years and years of wisdom and knowledge about how to see people serve the kingdom with all that they have. Okay, great. Let's continue to build on that. A generational blessing over you and your family. Cool. Let's run with that. I'm not going to ask you to do something that you don't have, but what is the chirp in your life right now? What is God calling you to do so that you can make a difference in his house and it would go outside of these walls? Oh, I could never stand at the door and greet people and welcome people into the house of the Lord. I don't like people. Okay, well, good. Let us know that. We don't want you being around people then. We have things that are behind the scenes that would be great for you. And then you'll grow to love people, and then you'll be there. Oh, I don't know if I could ever serve in children's ministry. I hate kids. Well, that's a qualifier that you like children. And you want to see the best for them. If you're not being called to that, then you're not being called to that. I really love excellence and like putting things on with excellence and making sure that things are protected and cared for and well maintained and people are served well. Then it sounds like you want to be an usher, man. I have a gift to hear things and know things and see things and maybe you're being called to serve in the production booth. What's the chirp in your life right now? I love people. I just want to talk to everybody. I want to know everybody's name. Well, then we have a wonderful cafe team that would love serving every single one of you every single week as you enter those doors. Maybe that's for you. But God answers, remember that I will be with you. Whatever you step out into, God will be with you no matter what. Point three, obedience. Here I go. Then Moses answered, what if they don't believe me or listen to my voice? For they may say the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord answered to him, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied, throw it on the ground. And the Lord turned it into a snake and he ran from it. Verses 10 through 17 in Exodus, please, Lord, Moses replied, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and tongue. I stutter, God. How are you going to send me? I'm not an eloquent speaker, God. How are you going to send me? I'm not good at this. How are you going to send me? And the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Or who makes the mute or the deaf, the slighted or the blind? It is not I, the Lord. Now go. I will help you as you speak, and I will teach you what to say. But Moses replied, please, Lord, send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and I know he's on his way to meet you right now. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you to speak, and I will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you. He will be your spokesman, and it will be as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand, what you do have, so you can perform signs with it. Moses tried one more time. Send someone else. I'm not good with their words. I don't speak well. I'm a stutterer. I don't fill in the blanks. And God says to him, who made your mouth? That's like the sickest mic drop. I don't speak well. Well, I made it. So are you saying that I don't do good things? Oh. And finally, the one who's not good at talking, stop talking. And Moses goes, did you hear me? Moses goes. He gets beyond the excuses. He gets beyond the disqualifications. He gets beyond his feelings, and he goes. Nobody talks to me at church. Well, my question to that always is, well, who do you talk to? Nobody knows me at church. Well, when's the last time you stayed more than 30 seconds past the dismissal time? Or here's another one. When's the last time you got to church early? Or on time? Start being what God is calling you to be. Think about your calling and how it can be a part of the bigger calling. I'm asking you today that you sign up for a group. Not that you just sign up for a group, that you become a contributor to the group. You know what was the difference between my house and my neighbor's house? They rent. They rent that house. I want to know what you said so bad, but church. Yeah. They're renters. They really, if something breaks, they don't want to fix it. They want somebody else to fix it. Why would they invest in something that's not theirs? My house, I always want to make improvements. I want to make it better. Why? Because I own it, and I know that there will be a return on my investment. So my question to you, are you a renter here, or do you own this place? Is this yours? Do you want to invest in it so that you can see the return on your investment? What's the return on your investment? Well, number one, sometimes it's visible and you can see it, and you'll be able to see the space, the unspectacular space downstairs become spectacular and see a living God do spectacular things through it. That might be a moment that you get to invest in. Maybe it's you investing your time in somebody else's life. Listen, today's Super Bowl Sunday. I don't care about the game except that the Seahawks win because the Patriots cannot have 7 Super Bowls. That's all I care about. But I don't care that my day's been interrupted. I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to drop my son off, and I'm going to go straight to the hospital to go see somebody. Talk some sense into them. I'm going to go chirp at the hospital. I'm going to chirp, 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 chirp. Yep. Obedience is your vision that you have for your life in motion. You don't need a full plan. You just need a next step. What do I do next? How will you fulfill the vision that God has shown you and given you and maybe you've been ignoring? I must go see this. Here I am. Here I go. We're all at one of these stages. If you're in this room, you're already at the I must go see this part. You're already there. You accepted it. Now it's time for you to decide what your calling looks like. Here I am, God. Either it's here I am, God, send me, or here I am, God, save me. Save you from what? Yourself. Save you from yourself. Save you from an eternity without him. Save you from a slow, agonizing spiritual death that eventually leads to a fire. But God's trying to get your attention before you see that one. So my question for you is, do you have a day, a time, a place, a moment where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's the first chirp you got to deal with. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received him as your forgiver of your past and the leader into your future, maybe today's your day, February 8th, 2026. And I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you'll ever do, but one of the best things you will ever do. And not just slip your hand up and say, God, here I am. Here I am, God. I need you. Anyone at all today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Anyone else? Don't ignore the chirp. Because you might not, you're not promised tomorrow. You're not. Leave it all on the field now. Anyone else today? The heavens are rejoicing. Now here we go. Now here's your moment. It's your obedience moment. Lord, send me. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go. Here. What's my weakness? Ignoring chirps. We're going to close today with the same thing that we started with, a sound. How many snooze button hitters do we have in the place today? Okay. You know, I'll repeat something that I said earlier. A snooze button does not turn the alarm off. All it does is delay your response. Stop delaying the inevitable. God got you here. Now give it your all. God's sounding an alarm in your spirit for years, for months, for weeks, for days, and you're just hitting a snooze button. I took my flesh captive with my snooze button. You know you can set the time? Yeah, mine's 9 minutes because my flesh wanted 10. But I said, you know, we're going to set it at 9. And I have it down to a science. I have it down to a science. I actually have a screenshot. Like, I've hit so many buttons before on my phone that I've taken screenshots of the alarm going off. It happened to me on Friday morning. I had a screenshot of it. Stop ignoring the alarm that God set off in your life. Get a part of a group. Take your next step and serve on a team. Get uncomfortable, because Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to be comfortable or complacent. Father God, I thank you so much for vision. I thank you that it launches us forward. It takes us somewhere. God, may we see more clearly than we have ever seen before. And God, may you continue to lead us, guide us, protect us, encourage us, empower us, and equip us. But most of all, keep sounding the chirps in our life. And may we continue to have it get our attention. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff.